We have started studying in John chapter 17 in verse number 19, I sanctify myself. And as I confessed to you in the earlier lesson, I had not understood that, didn't know how to understand that for all the many years in my Christianity. I didn't understand what that meant. And we're trying to show you that which God has shown us. That's all I can do. And I promise you that I will show you only that which God shows me, not trying to get outside or enhance the Word of God by bringing in wild gourds to put in the pot. In John 17, he says, verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That's good. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's what's going to happen. You're going to sanctify them by the written word of God preached to them and made right in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. But the Father and the Son know there's something that has to come before that in order for that to happen, in order for the word to be effectual in sanctifying them. And he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. Well, that's a degree of sanctification. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 36. John chapter 10 and verse 36. He's talking to the scribes and Pharisees who are arguing with him, hard-headed men. But in John 10:36, he says, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world. So being sent into the world is a degree of sanctification. God didn't send anybody else. He didn't send Michael the archangel. He didn't send Gabriel into the world. He didn't send anybody else. He sent his only begotten Son. And he said, are you going to say of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? So Jesus said, I know that I am sanctified as far as being sent into the world. And there's a lot of people that have started off in Christianity, but they've proven themselves to be of the three soils that do not bring forth fruit unto perfection. There's the wayside hearer, there's the rocky ground hearer, the thorny ground hearer. They don't have any root in them. They spring up and they look like they're sanctified, they're sent forth. But wait a minute, there's a second stage, as it were, of this sanctification. We go back to John 17 and see that. He says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Well, how did God send him into the world? Not without this second stage of sanctification. And here's our verse, John 17, 19. For their sakes I sanctify myself, listen, directly connected to this, in order that they also may be sanctified through the truth. If I don't sanctify myself first, then this thing of them being sanctified through the preaching of the truth is not going to work. So that caused us to go back to Hebrews chapter 9. In verse 21, he said, before this, he took the blood of calves and goats and sprinkled the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. The testament, not the New Testament. This was the law. So verse 21 says of Hebrews 9, moreover, he, that is Moses, sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. That's how the tabernacle and all the vessels were sanctified, by the sprinkling of blood. And Jesus said that I who have the blood of the living God within me, for the life is in the blood, and his life was the life of God. In dying for the people to be able to be sanctified through the truth, I am going to sanctify myself by the shedding of blood, and as it were, sprinkling this vessel of ministry so that God can look upon me and be satisfied. So the blood of the Lamb of God had to be accepted by God, be acceptable to God, in order that Jesus Christ may first of all sanctify himself. And again, we go back to the illustration that we gave you. Mary produced and had produced by the Holy Spirit the eternal Son of God from her womb. But having birthed a man, she had to go through the cleansing ceremonies and stay aside certain days, or she couldn't be received into company, into public company anymore. How did that happen? How can she be considered unclean when that which she had was the Son of God? And why is it that Jesus Christ had to sprinkle himself in order for you to have any validity and any sanctifying effect by the preaching of this word? Whew, deep, isn't it? But that's God. That's the way it is. If you will stop just for a minute and quit trying to figure it out and just think about one thing. Eternal, almighty, holy God is so holy and glorious that even the Son that is speaking to him here in these recordings that we have in John 17, being born of a woman, has to first of all sanctify himself in order that he might be accepted by God and God be satisfied with both him and us. And in order that he has to be sanctified himself, in order that you can be sanctified through the truth. That's That's the structure of this passage of Scripture. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. But, Father, you and I know this. Even as thou hast sent me into the world, and we see that there is a degree of sanctification in John 10:36 of being sent into the world. There was no other that had a birth like he did. There was no other that was prophesied of like he was. There was no other that was attended by eternal celestial beings like he was. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. There was never anybody's birth attended like his was. The shepherds came. And wise men coming, no telling how long it took them to be there. By the time they got there, he wasn't a baby in a manger. Boy, we really have messed that up. He was a young child in the house. Read your Bibles. I'm right. And none other was attended and brought gifts. These kings from the Orient. And I used to sing that song with our Christmas pageant, and I didn't know what in the world I was saying. We three kings of Orient are. I thought it was saying O, Re, and R. I didn't know what that meant. It's stupid. It's because I didn't have a brain in my head is what was going on. We three kings of the Orient are travelers from afar to come to give you these gifts. Nobody was attended like he was. But still, he says, I know that they're going to be sanctified through the truth. And I'm praying and asking you in John 17:17 to sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. But I understand the preaching of the word and the revelation of the truth, first of all, has to have the sacrifice sanctified. John 10:36, I was sanctified by being sent into the world. But that's not enough. A lot of people are sent out into Christianity, religiosity, but they don't cross the finish line. Why are you saying they were sanctified? They're set apart for a specific use. They said, I'm a Christian, got a Bible, going to church. But a few years later, temptations and trials and heartaches, they said, man, this thing's too hard. I quit. Oh, I'll just keep God a little bit over here, you know, in my heart, in my mind, in my house and so forth. But I ain't going back to all that no more. So they were set apart for a specific use for a while, but they didn't cross the finish line. Jesus said being sent out has a degree of sanctification. You say, I'm going to be set apart for this. But now he says, even though I was sent by the Father and was sanctified in that, in John 10:36, now there is a higher degree of sanctification, and it has to do not just professing that I've come into the world, but it says I've got to shed my blood so that I can sanctify myself. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, and I'm going to send them forth as you sent me. But I understand, and it's for their sakes, John 17:19, it's for their sakes I must sanctify myself in order that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Are you sitting there with your Bible in your lap? Maybe the Bible in your mind. Maybe your Bible in your little, whatever you got, iPhone or whatever. Yep, good. I want you to follow along in your Bible. Don't tie your salvation on any man's coattail. It's your faith that's got to get you in, not mine. But dear soul, are you understanding that just having professed to be Christian does not make you possess Christianity? Why do you say things like that? Because I was a lost church member for 7 years. I professed that which I did not possess. How did you know you did not possess it? For when God saved me, there's so much difference in empty religious profession from spiritual reality of possession of the Lamb of God in my heart that I knew. There's such a difference. Old things passed away, all things became new. And dear soul, I knew that I had been a lost church member. And even though that preacher did not want me coming and confessing in front of the church that I had been lost, because he counted me as a soul won back there 7 years ago, and they had to say, that messed up my count. I don't know what it messed up, but I know one thing. I had to get right with God. And I knew that the church saved me to start with, and it didn't work so good for 7 years. As far as God saving me in the reality of God's blood being sprinkled on me and bringing me into the opportunity and the ability to be sanctified through His Word. Ain't God good? God is so merciful. So He was being sent in John 10:36, and that was a sanctification. But here he comes with the second stage of sanctification. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, in order that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Dear soul, listen. This is God talking to God. There's no fooling around. And you say, well, I hadn't heard this before. Well, neither had I. Not until God revealed it to me yesterday while I was searching these scriptures. And I began to see what God was saying for the first time. I'm an old coot, dear soul. I've been in this thing a long time, and I hadn't seen this. But thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift that Jesus Christ is revealing himself to us degree by degree. And it seems like since this pandemic has hit and we have been separated from our comfort zone in religion, and we do miss the fellowship of those that we used to gather together with. But dear soul, it's done us a world of good of seeing that my fellowship with them or their fellowship with me, although it provided somewhat of a warmth and a comfort, it was not my salvation. That now I'm having to face God alone. And that's what it's all about. We're being separated from our pacifiers and our security blankets. And we're having to stand in the presence of God and believe God and have faith in God alone. And it's good for us. And it seems like since that pandemic hit and these messages have been more in depth of the same old scriptures that we've always read. It's the same Bible that we've always had, but there's such a depth and a rich meaning from these scriptures because we never saw it. God has isolated us. How many of the apostles were able to write a book of the revelation of Jesus Christ? One. What was his name? John. Where was he? On a rocky island by himself. God is being good to us even in this pandemic. He is manifesting himself to us by shaking us up and making us understand and see that we wasn't really progressing all that in all that depth of the things of God back then. We were just singing the same old songs and praying the same old prayers and, you know, just enjoying the same old people. And as soon as we left the sanctuary, went back to the dining hall and sat down and ate, we hardly even mentioned God. But oh, it's time now. Let's go. We got to go back in there for the second lesson. But now, there's a richness and there's a hunger. Not for physical fellowship, but for him to walk with me and talk with me and tell me that I am his own. And the joy that we, you and God, we share as we tarry there. I haven't ever known it with anybody else. God is good, isn't he? So that's what we're seeing. He has been sent into the world and sanctified in a certain degree like that. But Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, it became him to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. When he came into the world, he was sanctified. We know that, John 10:36. But that was just by saying there's no other one in the world, human being in the world, who is the Son of God. But yet in John 17:19, he said there's another stage to this. I got to sanctify myself in order for their sakes. There's got to be something different. Well, where was he headed? To the cross. So this verse says that in bringing many sons unto glory, it became him to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Was he not a perfect God when he came forth from Mary's womb? Yes. Was he not a perfect son? Yes. Did he not grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man? Yes. But he was not yet a perfect captain. He is now not just going to have the equality of being the Son of God. I and the Father are one. But now he steps into an office that he had not yet had responsibility of. He has now got to become the captain of their salvation. Lord Jesus, there was one man that started this out that was walking with God. He came forth. He was sanctified to be a son of God. Who was that? Adam. And through his life, he plunged us all into sin. Now, here you come forth, John 10:36, come forth into the world. You're sanctified as being the only true Son of God. He is the last Adam. So all of God's people are falling in sin, That happened by one man being set forth. Now you are the last Adam, and you're set forth, and you've got to take upon you and put upon your shoulders the government of God's people. And that office is, you've got to become the captain of their salvation. Are you ready? Well, yes, I'm ready. I'm willing. I'm able to do it. But yet, there's something that's got to be done to make me a perfect captain. What was that last two words? Through sufferings. Father, I pray, John 17:17, that you will sanctify them through thy truth. That's what we're doing today. But that ain't going to have any effect unless I sanctify myself for their sakes. What do you mean? We'll go back over to the old economy. We'll read back over in Hebrews chapter 9 of what had to happen for the tabernacle to have any benefit to the Israelites. Everything had to be sprinkled with blood. So the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be made a perfect captain, quote, through sufferings, unquote. He already is the perfect Son. He is the perfect humanity. Look upon him, you can see God. But we're still lost. He hadn't been to the cross. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. He's going to have to be doused, as it were, excuse me for that word, I don't know how to say it, with the blood of the Holy Lamb of God to sanctify himself in a way that will satisfy God so that we can be sanctified through the Scriptures. That's what he's saying. Hebrews 2:10, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Verse 11, for both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified, watch it now, are all of one. What was he praying in John 17? That they may be one with us as I am one with you. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. That's John 17, verse 21 on down through 23. So, Hebrews 2 and verse 11 tells you how that's going to be accomplished. They that are sanctified, how? Through thy truth, thy word is truth. And he that sanctifieth are all of one. How is he that sanctifieth going to be made one with us? He says in John 17:19, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Got to do it yourself. You are the captain of our salvation. Adam got us into this mess. We can't get out of it. There's only one with the blood of God. That's you. You are the last Adam. How are you going to get us out? You're going to give yourself for us. But wait a minute. God's not going to have you unless you are 100% spiritually sanctified. Because they're not going to be able to be sanctified through the truth unless you are sanctified by the blood. And almost all things are sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb of God. And he is going to have to shed his blood. That's what he was talking about. I'm going to shed my blood, and that blood is going to sanctify me, and then you'll be satisfied, and then the Spirit of God will come, and he shall take of mine and show it unto them, and they are going to walk in obedience to that which God is showing them by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, and they're going to be sanctified. I can't put it any clearer than that. I hope I'm being clear. I know this is probably something you haven't considered, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to talk down to you, because just because I hadn't seen it doesn't mean you hadn't seen it. But I'm just saying, I have never preached it before. That doesn't mean that God the Holy Ghost can't have already shown you. But, dear soul, this is all I can do, is say, Jesus said, Father, I want you to sanctify them through thy truth, but I know that I've got to sanctify myself first. And then they that are sanctified and he that sanctifies become one, and that's what I'm praying and asking you, that they might be one with us. Isn't that good? Hebrews 5. Let me finish that verse. Hebrews 2:11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For this cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Will I sing praise unto thee? Hebrews 5:8. For though he were a son. Now, he was a son by birth. He is the Son of God. Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now then, he's entering into a different stage. His birth, when he was sent forth into the world, John 10:36, he was sanctified. Very unique person. Nobody like him. But if he wants to recover that which Adam lost, and he does, he's going to have to satisfy the God that was dissatisfied with man. And God is angry with the wicked every single day. That's what the Bible says. God is angry with the wicked every day. It's in Psalms. I forgot to look it up. You can look it up. And dear soul, he's okay for himself. But when it comes to us and our being sanctified through the Word, he's first got to sanctify himself. And he says, I'm going to do it for their sakes. John 17:19. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, who will have to sanctify himself through the shedding of his blood, so that everything in the tabernacle, that is everything in Christ, is sanctified by the sprinkling of his blood. And that's the way I'm going to sanctify myself, in order that they may be sanctified through thy word. Hebrews 5:8. For though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect. Again, wasn't he a perfect man? Yes, but he has yet not become a perfect captain. Captain of our salvation. Listen. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Again, he has to be made perfect in order to be the author of eternal salvation. It's one thing for him to be a perfect man. But if he's going to step in the place that Adam vacated with awful cost to the human race, if he's going to step in there and the government is going to rest on his shoulders and he's going to satisfy a holy God and make him satisfied concerning all of God's people, he's going to have to put on the uniform of the captain of salvation. But he's going to have to be made a perfect captain by the things which he suffered. He's going to have to be made a perfect captain by sanctifying himself by the sprinkling of blood, as he is the tabernacle and he is the epitome of all the utensils in there. I wish I knew all of them. I wish I could tell you how every snuffer and dish and, you know, and everything that was in there was a reflection of Christ. I don't have that knowledge. Maybe if you pray for me, God will give it to me. And I'll promise you one thing. If he gives it to me, I'm going to give it to you. Ezekiel 40:4. So here he comes. Perfect man. Perfect son. Perfect baby. Perfect life. Perfect everything that he did and said. Not anything was out of order. Not one sin. Didn't even think an impure thought. But he has now come to say, I'm going to sanctify them through thy truth. But the Lord Jesus, you do realize that sanctifying through the truth is a result of you being sanctified first. You have to be made a perfect captain first. How is he made a perfect captain? Through sufferings. How does he become the author of eternal salvation? By learning obedience by the things which he suffered. So he says, for their sakes, I am going to sanctify myself. You know what that means. He knew better than anybody what that meant. That's why his sweat was as great drops of blood, because he realized that this was going to separate him from the Father for the first time. Dear soul, the thorns and the nails were not the worst part of this thing. The worst part of this thing was separating from God. He had to suffer a spiritual death that was like eternal death. In the horrors of darkness, the Son of Light was absorbed. And he had to go into death by faith. What do you mean? Did he not say, he will not leave my soul in hell, nor permit his Holy One to see corruption? Yes. What was that? It was a prayer of faith. God is going to lift me up and bring me out. I believe he won't leave me there. It's a horrible thing to be separated from God. It feels like it's never going to end, and that I'm never going to get back to God my Father, who is the love of my heart and soul and life. So I'm going to trust him. Therefore, he became the author of faith. Faith was begun on the cross of Christ. For he had to have faith that God would raise him up again. And he said, I'm going to do it for their sakes. I'll sanctify myself. Then you'll be able to use me to sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Because I will send the Holy Ghost, and he shall take of mine and show it unto you. And dear soul, I pray with all my heart and mind and trust with all that's within me every time that I have the responsibility to come over here and share the word of God with you, that it's not just me bringing forth rhetoric, words, logic, reasoning. Yes, religious. But of no avail, for the letter of the law killeth. It's the spirit of the word that granteth life. And it's my heart's desire. And think about this, that I might be sanctified by the things of God the Holy Ghost, leading me into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, leading me through the valley of the shadow of death, leading me through sufferings and heartaches, rejections and reverses and hatred and bitterness and scoffing and all of those things that I've had to go through to be able to stand firm and say, I'm just being sanctified for the truth of God. And so are you, for your life in the cross qualifies you to be connected on to Christ's life in the cross, that he for your sakes has sanctified himself by the shedding of his blood and by becoming obedient through the things that he suffered. He was made a perfect captain, and now you are the branches upon that vine, and God allows you by the Spirit of God that comes up from the root through the vine and out there to the limbs, and you bring forth the fruit of God. It keeps on going. But Jesus very truly said, if you do not bear your cross, you cannot be my disciple. I think God has let us see what he would have us to see. Let me just remind you of this. In Hebrews 9 and verse number 12. I have to read 11, I'm sorry. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, that is his body, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, not of this material creation. Listen, verse 12 of Hebrews 9. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, and this is what I want you to see, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And he says in verse 27 that people only die once. So Jesus ain't going to have to come back and die again to enhance redemption. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Why do they say that? Well, us preachers grab that verse and take it out and use it. But put it back in there where it belongs, and it's saying that Jesus, in verse 26, he's not had to suffer since the foundation of the world often, but now once in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and that was done once, because it's only appointed unto men once to die. Your granny died once. She didn't come back and going to live again. We're going to only die once. That speaks of Christ doing such a good job. He died once because it was by his own blood. And how long is that going to last? Verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of the many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. There are not going to be any new kinds of redemption. There's not going to have to be a boosting up of that which Jesus did on the cross. Somebody else is not going to have to come in and add to what he did. What he did was good. It was so good, it will never have to be repeated. And when he comes at the end of the world, he's not going to have to bring, you know, okay, I know some of you are just barely saved. You're just really slipping, and I'm going to have to give you another shot, you know, to boost you up. No. He died at once at the end of the world, having obtained eternal redemption for us by his own blood. And when he comes back again, it's going to be without any more provision for sin, because what he did on the cross lasts. You know why? Because he did it right. What was right, I sanctified myself for their sakes. God bless you. I appreciate so much the opportunity to bring these things to you. It is my joy and delight to reveal to you that which God has revealed to me. I just trust that the Holy Spirit will overcome and override anything that I have, you know, any waters that I have muddied up and not been clear. I trust that the Lord will bless your heart with this. Maybe you'll have to sit down and listen to all of this again in a private place and say, let me see if I can unravel some of that preacher was saying. He seemed to know what he was talking about, but I want to know what he was talking about. You make sure you get it from the Lord. We got enough religion. We need some true salvation. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers.